Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right. I'm going to teach just a little bit, but I want to open it up here if you have questions at the end, and then we can eat, because I know there's good eats. I know, right? Let's pray, and I just want to share two things that I wasn't able to last week. And then if you have questions, I'd like to answer or do my best to answer them. I actually know the answer to every single question that there is. So sometimes the answer is I don't know, but I do have an answer because there's lots I don't know. But all right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word, your Holy Spirit that teaches us. Lord, we just ask that you open our eyes, give us more understanding as we continue to walk in obedience to you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to just go to, talk about praying or speaking in other tongues. Sometimes people call it praying in other tongues. Sometimes people call it speaking. And the Bible actually says they spoke or were speaking in other tongues. Let's go to Acts 2:1. We're talking about demonstrations of the Spirit. Demonstrations is the name of the series, and it's a biblical explanation of a Holy Spirit manifestation. I'll just say this. If you're going to obey the Word of God and get into the Word of God and look at it and have it in your life, the more you get into it, you're going to be an oddity to a lot of Christians, and you will be weird to the world. Okay, that's just the nature of it, because they walk by sight. But I'll just tell you this. I've been in services where people have, you know, jumped, shouted, danced, ran, you know, all that stuff. But I've also been at parties where that happened. So I don't know who the weird one is. You know what I mean? I've been, because I lived in the world long enough to know and experience enough things to where when I got over into the church, some of it wasn't that weird to me. I've been to parties where some ding-dong was so drunk, all he did was laugh all night, you know. But he was in, and you see it on the side of, like, places that sell alcohol and stuff, but wine and spirits. It's a spirit, all right. You'll get opened up to something, okay. My father-in-law, before he got saved, he wasn't raised in a Christian home. But they did drugs and, you know, different ones at that time. I don't know if they were doing acid or what they were doing. And he said he went into a room one time. They were partying and drinking and doing all this stuff. And there was this huge demonic figure behind a person that he was at a party at. He saw in the spirit realm. And he looked at his friend and said, "Let's go." And they left. So, I mean, you know, there's that. I had a friend of mine who, actually the guy who's selling my house right now, we were actually pastors together at Freedom Church years ago, and telephone, and everybody silence your phone. Let's just get, oh good, mine's silenced. So years ago, is it God? Hello? Don't talk about that, Sean. Okay. But anyway, years ago, he wasn't raised in a Christian home, and so he did cocaine and, you know, and all that stuff, acid and stuff like that. And he said they used to take acid and go lay in the graveyard and look up at the sky, and spirits would dive bomb them and go back up and down and up and down. This is the drug guy, yeah. This is actually Pastor Tony Gaffke. he's not in ministry now as far as pastoring, but of course everybody's in some sort of ministry. But this was before he got saved. And so you say, what's your point? My point is that drugs, things like that, people do stuff like that to alter their consciousness and to get a high and stuff like that. But it opens a door to the spiritual. Think about Native American culture. Sweat lodges and peyote, and what is that? What are they doing? They're opening themselves up to a spiritual world. It's all there. It's just a matter of, you know, the Lord doesn't, and thank God he doesn't, because people would be shocked, but he doesn't open your eyes to see what's going on all the time. You know what I mean? You're not going to physically see it. You don't need to. How many ever been in a place and you felt like, it ain't right in this place? Yeah, it's, you're aware, but you have authority in the Spirit. So for every, well, I'll just put it to you this way, for every demon, there are two angels. Because if one third of the angels fell, that means two thirds remain. You know, and people say, well, there's a devil behind every bush. Well, there's two angels holding them down. Okay, so there's twice as much, not to mention the fact that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. There's no greater power than the power that lives inside of you as a Christian. So you don't got to worry about any of that stuff. You say, have you ever seen demons? More than once. More than once. But, you know, I still sleep great at night. Why? Because I have authority over them. They don't have authority over me. And so I don't play in their playground anymore. I don't give them opportunity. But the spiritual, so demonstrations of the Spirit are not something that should be strange to the church. Now, people have gotten carnal in the church and gotten away from things that are truth in the Scripture and are clear in the Scripture, and they get more and more natural in their thinking, which is why I'm using the word carnal, naturally thinking instead of spiritually thinking, because the Bible talks about being spiritually minded, not carnally minded, because being carnally minded is death. But being spiritually minded is life and peace. When you understand things in the Scripture, so what people do and what our culture does has done in America, although it is going to shift, I'll just let you know that. You say, how do you know there's going to be more manifestation of demonic activity or people being delivered where it's demonstrative? Because we live in a culture that says a man can be a woman. That homosexuality is okay. That all these things are, and you say, what does that got to do with anything? Listen, the devil plays in the realm of the flesh. And the more you open up to it, the more you make yourself available to them influencing your being. It's the nature of it. You cannot. I am convinced that the more the flesh is yielded to in the church, the more you will see corruption. The more that people try and, you know, get away from a holiness type lifestyle or living a holy life and stuff like that, the more you will see demonic activity in the church. Why? Because that's where the devil tempts. It's his hook. It's where he wants in. And so we got to be aware of that. So demonstrations or manifestations of the Spirit should not be strange. Now, I don't know if you noticed it when Pastor Larry was speaking, he was talking about the services and stuff like that. But when he was sharing, he said, look, when this service is over, next Sunday is not going to be like this service. And it wasn't. Why? Because not every service is a Holy Ghost meeting. It's not. We set aside specific times for that. Why? Because Jesus, you know what he did primarily? He taught. You know the word teach and teaching is actually mentioned twice as many times, if not even a little bit more, than preaching in the Scripture? And even with demonstrations of the Spirit, demonstrations of power or manifestations of power are for to get people's attention. It was interesting because I'm up here ministering to people, you know, if you're sitting back watching, you don't always know what's going on. But we had people come to the altar for ministry that have never even bothered to even think about it. It wouldn't even be a thought in their mind. Why? Because something, the Holy Spirit, is moving and demonstrating, and you see a 60-year-old guy jumping around in cowboy boots, dancing and yelling, and people go, they either go, what's going on? But they can recognize the Holy Spirit moving. And when you do that, you have a demonstration. The Holy Spirit will pull on people. There are some people that will never get saved by a good teaching. It doesn't matter how perfect the altar call flows and how fluent in words the minister is and so how well he can communicate. Some people are just not going to respond to that, but they will respond to, you know, a demonstration of the Spirit that makes the minister look undignified. I don't know why. I can tell you this, Billy Graham got a lot of people saved. But I can also tell you about a guy you've never heard of, that Brother Hagin used to come in, and at the altar call, he would just start dancing. That was the altar call. He'd tell his daughter, strike up a tune. Tells you how old it is. And she would, and he would start dancing, and then the anointing of God would come on him. And people would come to the altar to get saved. Because they would, something shifted in the whole moment, and all of a sudden people go, oh, and God's in the room. But God was there the whole time. It's just people go, oh, there he is. And that's what demonstrations can do. And people think, well, that he probably got, you know, simpletons, you know, saved. He got governors saved. He got doctors and lawyers saved. Doctors and lawyers watched a man dance and gave their lives to Jesus. How does that make sense? It doesn't. It makes faith. It makes spiritual sense. So sometimes God can move and you just don't understand it. You're just not going to get it. But you got to check your heart. And you go back to the word, of course. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1, talking about speaking in other tongues or praying in tongues. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Boy, I'm looking for some moments like that in here. You say, what do you mean by that? One accord, one place. We already got one place. We just need one accord. Well, I'll tell you this. There were times that I know Brother Hagin shared, and there are others that have shared this too, ministries and ministers, but he was in the last church he pastored. They had gotten together so strong in unity and walked in such a high level of love that even in one of their worship services, they all got in one accord. And that service, nobody ever preached. Every sick person in that place got healed. Just instantly, like that. Nobody touched, nobody laid hands on anybody, nothing like that. People say, how could that happen? I don't know. Watch a Catherine Kuhlman video. How do 20 people get out of wheelchairs with nobody touching them? God shows up. If God shows up strong enough, everything in his vicinity that is not of him will vamoose. It'll go. People say, well, that can't be possible. Under the old covenant, Jesus, the Father said, well, Jesus, he is the word. But he said this, under the old covenant, if you obey my commandments and follow my statutes, he said, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Oh, is it true or not? Were they under a better covenant than us? No. No, they were not. People say, well, why don't we see it? Well, we need to seek God and not look. See, what religion does is it tries to bring the word down to their experience. What faith in God does is says, my experience is here, your word's here, I'm coming up, Lord. Does that make sense? We come up to him. We seek for answers from him. We don't look to disqualify God or bring him down. We look to bring ourselves up to his level. Well, it didn't work. Well, how do you know? Are you saying we missed it, or are you saying God missed it? Because God can't. And his will is only expressed through Jesus perfectly. So either Jesus is right, we probably have squirrely doctrine or beliefs about Jesus, right? See, that'll offend you. You ever notice that? You ever read something in the Bible and go, so you get an opportunity. You can get mad at the preacher, mad at the church, switch churches. That's a popular one these days. I call it the Pentecostal church hop. There are legitimate times where people switch. You understand what I'm saying? Some people are just mad and angry and, you know, I'm going to go try this one. You're going to get mad over there. Squirt. Yeah. Time for you to grow up. That's all there is to it. You got to pull them up eventually and, you know, put some suspenders on. Or we can choose to look at God's word and be submissive to it and go, okay, you're right, Lord, I'm wrong. So where am I missing it? Because I want to know the truth. And that's where humility comes in. And when you're in a place of humility, it hurts your flesh, but that's about the only part it hurts. How many have ever had God really correct you? He got after you, got you good. I have. I did not walk away from it other than my pride being hurt. Nothing else hurt. Does that make sense? Just my flesh. And that's okay. That's okay. Our flesh, you know, the natural side of us is not as important as we think it is. You know? We tend to just think that way, and so we got to watch it. But demonstrations of the Spirit will help with that, and we need to make sure that we're listening to Him and not to everything else that's going on. Verse 2, so one accord, one place. We're going to have that because we're going to have believers' meetings around here eventually. You say, what's a believers' meeting? That's where all the believers get together, and they enjoy the presence of God, and God refreshes them, and they can function and flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Does that make sense? It will more as we go. So anyway, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that the Holy Spirit didn't speak for them. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 10, verse number 44. I like this one. Acts chapter 10, verse number 44 says this, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. So you got to understand the backdrop to this. These are Gentiles that are getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not Jews. Jews thought they were it. They didn't think anybody else could get in. And that's where that vision where the Lord dropped a sheet down with a bunch of animals in it that were unclean to and the Lord said, kill and eat, Peter. And Peter said, I've never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord said to him, this happened three times, which is significant because God will confirm things in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So that's why it happened three times. That's why that's important. But he said to him, what I have made clean, don't call unclean. So what was the Lord saying to Peter? Gentiles are in. That's what he was saying. It's not just the Jews anymore. Gentiles are in. Okay, so that's what happened here. And so that's why those of the circumcision, which was witnesses that came with Peter, looked at these people praying or that the Holy Spirit had just landed on, and he's looking at them going, you've got to be kidding me. The Lord's going to save these heathen centurion, you know what I mean? Italian regiment, Roman scumbags are getting into the kingdom. Yep, sorry, all the scumbags are in now. You know what I mean? We're all included, so... Anyway, I'm no longer a scumbag anymore. So, but anyway, they were astonished. It says this, as many as came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they what? Heard them speak with tongues, what? Magnify God. What does that mean? That means you can pray in other tongues and worship God. Did you know that? It's a form of worship. There's so much here. Okay, so they heard them magnify God. Acts 19, verse 5. Says this, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Paul went and spoke to some guys that were actually disciples of John the Baptist. And they weren't born again yet. I believe they're born again in verse 5 here because it says Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, what did he do? He put his hands on them, right? The Bible says what? They were what? The Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with and prophesied. Both, just like that. They didn't have a lesson on prophecy first. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just find it interesting because sometimes we've lost things so many times from the book of Acts and from the early church that we have to regain them. You know what I mean? And sometimes it feels like we're gaining ground back. But anyway, you see here, they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. It says, now the men were about 12 in all. Here we see people speaking in tongues and then speaking in their native tongue. So you have both. So whatever their language was, we'll just say in our case it's English. So Paul would have laid hands on me, I'd have prayed in other tongues, and then I would have prophesied in English. Just like that. Boom, boom. Now, this could have been tongues with interpretation, which is equal to prophecy. We know that according to 1 Corinthians 12. It could have been along that same line, but we don't know for sure. It just could have been prophecy. So those two equal each other, but here is a demonstration of the Spirit. In other words, when you come up for prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if somebody does, when you lay hands on them, they should speak with other tongues. People say, well, no, it's not for everybody. You're wrong. It is for everybody. Paul said, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. Isn't that interesting? Paul made this statement too. He said, not to mention that, go read Mark 16. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, these signs shall follow them who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons, they'll lay hands on the sick, they will recover, da 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 da. And then he says what? They will speak with new tongues. Mark 16. Okay? So it's all in there, and that gift, I don't know why God would say, Heidi, you can have it, but Kylie, no. Go ahead, Heidi, you're going to be built up in faith. You're going to have this blessing, but Kylie, no. Nope, not for you. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, it just doesn't. It's natural man to explain things that they haven't experienced and they're not going to go after. That's what that is to me. And let me just tell you, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but I'm not going to quit going after them. I only got so many hours on the planet. So my goal is to get as much out of this and transfer it to the earth before I go. Okay? Okay. What other demonstrations? One more. Deliverance from demonic influence. Acts chapter 5. Do you know what the purpose of the signs and wonders is? To get people saved. That's the purpose. It's not a gimmick to try and become a famous preacher or to get a YouTube following. And you say, why do you have to say that? Well, it's probably not for anybody in here, but somebody may listen to it on the internet. I mean, I know I have so many friends, and I understand why it is this way, because you have a call on your life. I went to Bible college, you know, and I used to think, oh, I want to, you know, you look at these preachers and you think, that's what I want to be. You don't want to be anything but what God's called you to be. But I talked to some ministers and friends of mine in the ministry and stuff like that. And it's like this constant, I mean, it's always, you know, it's like ministries competing for money. It's like, well, don't tell anybody about, you know, any TV ministries. They'll give all their tithe to there. You know, or the TV ministries are, you know, it's this constant, it grates on the inside of me. And I'll be honest with you, what grates on the inside of me more than anything is if I find myself thinking that way. Because that's so carnal. I didn't call me. I didn't anoint me. If I could have picked what I wanted. Turns out I'm white. Thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. You ruined it all. No. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? God is going to take care of us front to back, top to bottom. And it doesn't matter how hard I were to try to do, I'll put it to you like this. This is the kind of man that was the man of God that influenced me, Brother Hagin. He was contemplating writing a book for a teaching to give to people as curriculum and stuff like that for people to learn. Another avenue to get the gospel into people's hands. And the minister he shared it with said, and you guys, some of you heard me share this before, but it'll be good to hear it again. Said to him, oh yeah, you should write a book. You can make a lot of money. It's exactly what he said to him. Brother Hagin didn't write that book for another 7 years because that's how long it took him to get that out of him. You know there are people that write books, Christian books, just to make money? It's interesting because Brother Hagin has over 60 million copies of his books in the earth today. Over 60 million. Now, he didn't write 60 million books. There's 60 million copies. Okay? All over the world in different languages. How can God do that? Got the issues out. Got the issues out. Okay, so Acts chapter 5, verse number 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Thank God. How were they done? Through the hands of the apostles. People say, I'm never going to lay hands on anybody. You'll never have a sign and wonder done through you then. Well, I'm not the preacher or the apostle. These signs shall follow them that... Oh, yeah. It didn't say the preachers, did it? The prophets. The prophets can have gifts of the Spirit in their lives. They should, if they're true prophets. But you can lay hands on the sick. You don't need to call somebody else to do it for you. You can do it. You say, how do I do it? In the name of Jesus. Well, I didn't feel anything. You're not. The Bible didn't say you were called to feel anything. It said lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They'll feel it. You just go on. Amen? How could it be that simple, Sean? Because it's faith, like a child. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, verse 13, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Well, that was a good time. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the what? The sick out into the streets. Wow, isn't that something? They brought the sick out into the streets. I love this. And laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. That means people were getting healed in Peter's shadow. Now that ought to wake you up. That'll wake a culture up, right? Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were healed. Okay? They were healed. You know what tormented means, right? Troubled, disturbed. It means to vex. One of the phrases along with this word, tormented, is this. There was a sentence that went with it, kind of a description. It said, all the pebbles are rolled or swept away by the water. In other words, what? The thought is no stability. That's what tormented is. You ever seen pebbles in water? That's what some people are like. Oh, all over the place. Never settle down. All over the place. Their minds are just... Zzz. They never have a peaceful moment. Why? They're vexed. They have vexing in them. And they can be healed. They can be healed. Acts 8:4, last one. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7, for unclean spirits, you know, you don't want to just jump over words. Unclean spirits. Unclean. Have you ever met somebody that's unclean? You say they're demon possessed. No, they're being influenced by something unclean. You ever heard the phrase? It's not a scripture, but it's partially true. Cleanliness is next to. You know why? Because unclean spirits are not godly spirits. They're unclean. Does that make sense? Crying with a loud voice. What happened in this meeting? You know how many people would just not be able to sit in a service if that was happening? This is God moving in a community, and the Bible says unclean spirits cried with a loud voice. And then it says this, that they came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. unclean spirits came out. And how did they come out? A screaming. You say, have you ever seen that before? Yep. Been in the service. Actually saw it when I was, Mom, how old was I when we went to Ashram? Yeah, 13, somewhere in there. There's a guy ministering named Rick Bonfim. Where was he from? Brazil? Yeah. Real little guy. And he could sing. He could sing pretty good. But his dad baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember him telling a story about they were coming to, because in wherever he was at, they thought the Pentecostal experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit was a mental disease. So they were going to drive this guy and his dad and the family out of this area. And they had this pulpit, and he brought it out front because they came to drive him out of this church. And he said something like, in the name of Jesus or something, and he hit the pulpit because it was a standoff between these people that were kicking him out. And that pulpit split, poof, clean in two. They didn't come back. They just left him alone. That's happened more than once, a pulpit splitting in two. I'm talking, a testimony I heard firsthand of a pulpit that split in two that was supposed to be unbreakable, and it split clean in two. Now, I don't want this one too, because then we got to weld it back together. But you understand, what is that? It's a sign and a wonder. It makes you go, whoa? Maybe we should think about Jesus, you know? You know? But we were in this meeting, I was 13, and this guy, do you remember that service? Yeah. He was sitting across from me, just across the aisle, and he starts bucking like, I don't know what, but he was screaming. I remember that. And just, he manifested right there. And then they took him in the back or something like that. I remember somebody saying that Rick was kind of disappointed that the kids had to see some of it. You know, I remember thinking, that was cool. I don't ever remember being afraid. I remember Carrie being afraid, my sister. She was very afraid. But the point is that can happen in a service. And that man was set free. He was delivered. It took him a couple hours to get him free, but they did. And he was completely delivered. A different person, because I remember seeing him like the next day in the lunch line or whatever. And he looked different. His eyes looked, everything just looked different. You know what I mean? And so those manifestations can happen. And so we need to be aware of that, because I don't know whether you realize it or not, but people need help. And guys, listen, Jesus' ministry was not pretty. We have what we have today in organization. There's nothing wrong with organization. But some churches, they don't turn into places of deliverance. They turn into clubs for the Christians. And our salvation, a lot of times, church salvation or the idea of salvation has boiled down to nothing more than, boy, you're going to get to heaven when you die, which is a very important truth. I don't want to minimize that. But there's so much more to the gospel. And there are people out there that are just tormented and they don't know how to get free, or are on multiple drugs. I've been in the psych ward more than once. Okay? And I'm telling you what, those people, they're not happy. They are not, and the drugs that they are on, I mean, they you've heard the side effects that are possible. And some of them, they're not being helped. What about homosexuality and those things? There was a few years ago where there was a deal in the article in the newspaper, Billings Gazette, on LGBT and all that stuff. Did any of you ever read that? They focused on a girl that, I can't remember if it was a guy that wanted to be a girl or a girl that wanted to be a guy. Do you remember which one it was? Yeah, so anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, they started out as one and they were going to the other. They were so suicidal. in and out of the psych ward over and over and over and over. And the people that are atheistic and evolutionists and they don't believe in God, they're going to try and convince you that that's because of the evil preachers that are out there telling them that it's wrong to do that. That is, you know how minuscule that influence is in their life? It's next to nothing if you look at the statistics. The truth of the matter is that they are in chaos on their insides. It's a torment of the enemy. So this person finally did get changed. They finally had the surgery and everything. And they thought that that would solve the suicidal issues. Guess what? They were back in the psych unit. And I'm reading this, and they're trying to promote this and trying to argue the point that this is good. And I'm thinking, you guys are doing a terrible job. Anybody that's really paying attention is looking at this going, you mean I'm headed down the path of becoming crazy and wanting to kill myself? I was watching some shows, they try out and sing and whatever. And I came in, and there's this girl sitting there, and I'm going, that ain't a girl. You know, I'm not that slow. You know, I can figure it out. You say, you can't talk about that, Sean, because you have, I worked with multiple transgenders in Oklahoma, Tulsa. Multiple. Every day. I was their boss. I know when a man is wearing a woman's shirt. Because no woman has biceps that big. Or legs like that. You know what I mean? Stop it. Just get off it, Sean. Go on. Where was I at? My point is, there was this guy, girl, and it's a guy. He's a guy. So I'm going to call him guy. Dressed up as a girl. They're interviewing him. I said, well, how did this all... And he said, well, I had all this trauma in my life when I was younger, so I developed an alter ego, an alter personality. Or you could just get born again. That's what they're looking for. Does that make sense? So we need demonstration. Why? Because I don't care how medically supposed they call it advanced we get, which is, it's not advancement. But I don't care how far we go, it can never deal with the spirit. It'll never touch it. Never. You know, if you ever want to, you know, I don't recommend just Googling transgender, just so you know. And you got to be selective in how you do these things, because you'll come up with stuff you don't want. Okay? Set all your restrictions on your internet browser to max if you're going to search some of it. But there are tons of many, 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 not only homosexuals that are saved and preaching the gospel now, but transgenders that have been, they had the change and they're back. And now they're preaching the gospel because they got born again. There are tons of them. The news media is never going to tell you about them. You got to go dig, but they're out there and they're getting homosexuals and transgenders saved. They're leading them to the Lord. I heard one testimony about a guy who's a homosexual and he got saved. He's now married and has three kids. And he was at the mecca of the homosexual community and in as a high-ranking guy with them. Isn't that interesting? God doesn't care. He just dives right down in the middle and goes, you want to be free? It's free to be free. So, it just, we need to be aware of it. Why? Because we're going to see people more and more set free. I'm not going this direction to go backwards. The only reason why I haven't slammed my foot down totally is because the Lord hasn't told me to do it yet. But I'm like my dad. You say your dad. Yeah, Glenn. I got a lead foot. I'll push my foot all the way down to the floor the moment he tells me to. Talking about the Holy Ghost. and just let him have his way. Why? Because I want people free. Jesus paid way too high a price for us to treat it as something trivial and comfortable and squishy. Way too high a price. The Jesus I saw would get down right to where the well is and where people are getting water, and here comes a woman who's had five husbands and doesn't is living with a man. And he'll go, I'll give you living water. Think about this. She was so touched by the Spirit of God. What did Jesus say to her? He exposed her sin. She was so touched by the Spirit of God, she runs back into the city she just came out of and says, guess what? I found somebody that told me all my sins. Come see him. And today in church, people are like, you don't want to embarrass anybody? Raise your right pinky if you like to receive Jesus. I've been in one service where I was preaching. I didn't even give the altar call. People just started coming. Because the love of God just manifested. I mean, it just boom. And people just started getting up and came to the altar. I'm like, if you want to be saved, come now. People started coming. That's what I want here. People healed, set free, delivered. Why? So we can go to heaven all together. You think cookie fellowships are good here? Wait till we get to heaven. We'll be wearing different shirts. Heaven's Church. I don't know what it'll call. Yeah, maybe, yeah. So, that being said, so I hope that helps you, let's do this. How many want to see more of God move? Let's just pray right now. Let's just agree. You open your heart. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we can ask and seek of you. Lord, you're positioning us so that you can move. Lord, we just cry out as a church body. We say, have your way. Do what you want to do in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let Jesus be exalted above all else, Lord. Lord, the fire and the wind of your Spirit manifesting in this place and on the people, and then the people going out and your Spirit flowing through them in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We ask you for it. We thank you for it. We believe you for it, and we expect to see it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.